In the Lord this morning. So blessed, amen, to be able to get up and come into the house of God to worship Him. We thank you for each and every one that is here. Let all of our visitors know how welcome they are, how much we love them. Praise God. Amen. And while you're putting your hands together, put the hands together for all fathers today. Happy Father's Day. Amen. Now, how about the Father of all life? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Real glory. Keep that praise on your heart. Go with us to the book of Acts, the third chapter. In the book of Acts, chapter number 3. Acts denotes action. He knows we need to be a church of action. He knows we need to be saints of action. Amen. The time, amen, is now come that we need to be activated. Amen. Reading from the third chapter of the book of Acts, verse number 1. Now Peter and John went up together, everybody say together, into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. Everybody say Beautiful. To ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting, everybody say expecting, to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately, everybody say immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. Brother Chris, take us to the Lord in prayer, asking God's grace and His mercy and His blessing this morning. Amen. One more hand clap for Jesus. You may be seated. Praise God. I'd like to preach a message this morning called A Gate Called Beautiful. There's no doubt in my mind that ever been born again believer, Bible reader, would not be able to recount this story verbatim. Man, it's been preached on many, many times. Songs have been written about it. Man, revivals have spurred from this particular passage of Scripture to know that God is an on-time God and God's going to heal, amen, if we believe and put faith and trust in Him. And it's amazing, exciting. We sing a song sometimes about that. Look what the Lord has done. And it has a verse in there that basically abbreviates the story of Peter and John entering into the temple and being approached, or not approached, by this lame man, looking at him and healing him. But I want to come at it for a little different avenue this morning as the Lord has laid this upon my heart. I want us to talk about something. I know the healing is great, and I know the miracle is wonderful. That's the reason that they call them miracles. But I want to analyze this just a little bit, if I might. First of all, a gate to the temple. A gate called Beautiful was something that was intricate and extravagant detail. A lot of work went into this particular gate because it was the gate called Beautiful that entered into the temple. The Bible tells us that there were many, many gates. Some gates were practical. Some gates were to keep things and people out. Some gates were just for decorative purposes, and this was one of those decorative purposes. This was a gate that entered into the temple. It was a good place, by the way, for anybody who was seeking help to position themselves outside the gate. Not only could they be outside the gate when people were coming into the temple to worship, but as people proceeded to exit the temple of worship, amen, certainly their mind, their compassion, and their ability to help would absolutely should be exaggerated. So they probably would have compassion on this particular person or those persons positioned outside the gate, maybe more able or more in tune to help them on their way out. Now, I don't ask you to raise your hand this morning, but how many of us have come into the house of the Lord not feeling exceptionally well, maybe down, maybe depressed, maybe a little physically ill, or maybe a headache or whatever the problem was, maybe a strong conversation between spouse and the spouses on the way to church or whatever it was. But when you come into the house of the Lord and you begin to release all the weight, you begin to release all the problems, and you begin to glorify and worship the Lord, so many times we exit the house feeling better than we did when we entered the house. And thank God that is so. Amen. Many, many times I don't feel like it, but if you'll put forth the effort, God will bless you anyway. Amen. So he was positioned there, and the Bible tells us that he was lame from his mother womb, indicating that he had been lame from birth, basically. And I don't know how old he was, but for whatever reason, for every day that there was prayer made at the temple, this particular man was carried and placed outside the gate or at the gate in order to receive alms. The Bible tells us in one translation, or it tells us that that particular phrase also means a gift. He was looking for somebody to have compassion upon him and drop a little gift, probably usually money or whatever it was. There may have been other sources of gifts, but the main thing was to receive money as they went into the temple to worship. This man was carried. It never mentions, and I looked, it never mentions where he entered into the temple. Now, I want us to think about that for just a moment, because therein lies the substance of my message today. For many, many years, he was laid at the gate leading into the temple. But for some reason, I don't find where he ever entered in. You might say, Brother Eddie, he was lame and couldn't walk. Well, somebody carried him to the temple. Somebody could have carried him into the temple. I believe with all of my heart that there are good folks in this whole wide world, amen, who will get to a certain point, but for whatever reason are not ready to make that next step into the temple. And I don't mean the temple. I don't mean the natural church. I mean into the kingdom of God. A lot of people want to get as close as they can. A lot of people want those folks around them that's going into the temple to help them on their way out. Amen. If you don't believe that, I will assure you that people that you haven't heard from in months, when they have a need, they'll get the phone or they'll get the cell phone and they'll call somebody who's in the temple. They'll call somebody who's in the church. They'll call somebody who can get in touch with God. They want them to intercede on their behalf, and that's good. We need to pray one for another. But I want to tell you today, so many people, they only go to the gate and never go through the gate. Now, Peter and John were energized. Hello? Can I tell you how Peter and John didn't go to the temple? They didn't wait till 10 minutes after service to get there. They didn't stop by Starbucks to get some caffeine to get me through the sermon. That boring sermon that the preacher always preaches. I don't believe they tuned into Facebook on their way to church. That's just me. Because the Bible tells us in the preceding chapter that on the day of Pentecost, there came, as of a rushing mighty wind, a sound from heaven. Oh, hallelujah.
and it filled one corner of the church. Only where the board member sits. Only in the choir loft. Only at the pulpit. No, I don't read it that way. It said this sound from heaven fill the house. Every one of them experienced the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost that came down. Glory to God. They were praising Him. They were glorifying Him. People walking down the street said, surely they're sick. Surely they're drunk. No, they're not. They were energized. Hallelujah. Now Peter and John were sitting in this 120. They were two of the 120 that had been energized from this power that came down from heaven itself. There was such an anointing of the presence of God. People begin to sell their things and give to the church, and they all gather together. The Bible signifies that they were in one mind and one accord. They were daily worshiping and praising God.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Church world of today. Can't Monday, can't Tuesday, can't Wednesday, can't Thursday, can't Friday. No, can't Saturday, Sunday morning. No, they were so energized that one visitation wasn't enough. They were so energized that they quit what they was doing. Their daily routines, their daily schedules was pushed aside. And they began to pray and they began to seek God for a mighty move. And the Bible says there were added about 3,000 souls. Glory to God. Somebody prayed. Somebody got in touch. Somebody had a burden. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They even went from house to house, praising and glorifying God, worshiping the Lord. So this was no ordinary trip to the temple. Can I tell you how dedicated and committed they were? It was on the ninth hour. You Bible readers know that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Pentecostals on Sunday, that's siesta time. That's after the good morning service, after a good plate of victuals, and that's relaxing time. But when you're energized, glory to God, when you can't get enough of it, when you can't wait from one service to the next. Glory to God. When you can't wait from one opportunity to stand and proclaim that God has healed me. God has delivered me. No more gallstone. No more cancer. No more sickness. Glory to God. Then Sunday morning prayer is not enough. 3 o'clock in the evening. But the ball game's on 3 o'clock in the evening. Something got a hold of Peter and John. This was no ordinary trip to the temple. Bible, words mean something. I say that often. But the Bible said they were together. I kind of think that means more than they were riding on the same camel. Come on. I believe that they were in singleness of heart and mind. There was no talking of any controversial things. There was no discussing of what we're going to do after the hour of prayer. There was no discussing of what are we going to do when we get back home and put the food on the table. I believe that they was in one mind and one accord. They were going to worship God with every ounce of strength that they had from their body, their mind, and their soul. They were going forth to praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I would imagine they've entered the temple before. But the Bible explicitly tells this account immediately after the actions of chapter 2. Glory to God. I don't know. I can only speak from my own experience. But when I was young, I attended church almost all the time. But it wasn't necessarily because I wanted to. Had a God-fearing mother and daddy. They didn't ask me. They didn't ask me, what are you going to do today? I said, get in the car. Comb your hair, brush your teeth, whatever you got to do, but get in the car. We're going to church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. Daddy worked at Fisher Body, General Motors. He couldn't go. But Mom said, get in the car. We were out playing on that street that we lived on. There was a bunch of boys, all just about my age. We could play all kind of stuff. We played Tarzan swinging on the vines and Herschel Reach Pastor. Man, we played baseball using dried up, well, you know what, in the pasture, for bases. Man, we was having a good time. We was playing army. We was getting, and the mama stood on the back porch. Get on ready, come on in. We got to go to church. One of my good friends said, every day y'all hang around that old rock mark going to church. Thank God that even though I wasn't energized at that age, I had a mother who was energized. I had a mother who knew what it meant, amen, to lay aside everything else and give God the attention He deserved. Amen. Peter and John went together into the temple. I believe they couldn't wait to get there and glorify and praise God. But on their way in, there sat a man. Amen. How many knows God has a time and a place for everything? You may not understand. You may not know. But the very time you miss out, maybe the very time God had a man, God had a person just so you could touch them. Hallelujah. We get this idea, I've got to go to church to get myself fed. You may need to go to church to help feed somebody else. You may be the same one that prays somebody through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Peter and John were together walking into the temple. The Bible says the lame man looked on them. Now, that meant something to me. Have you ever been a crowd watcher? Anybody in here? Yeah. Come on, be honest. Yeah. This is the church. Yeah. You can be honest here. Yeah. You ever been a people watcher or a crowd watcher? Yeah. Do some of them stand out and maybe you give a little more attention to them? Yeah. Come on. Are you one of those that you're sitting there and you just had a big old ice cream and you see some especially healthy people walk by and you suck in your stomach? You can't wait till they get outside so you can... Some people stand out in a crowd. Now that was a little humorous, but I want you to listen to what I'm about to ask you. Can you stand out in a crowd? When somebody's lost, when somebody's down, when somebody's out, when somebody don't have a friend to turn to, can they see something in you? Can they recognize you? Can they fasten their eyes on you? And I see somebody who will help me. I see somebody who will love me. I see somebody who will lead me to Christ. Are we those persons that stand out in a crowd, regardless of what you wear? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what's on the inside. Can we stand out as an anointed child of God? This lame man saw something in Peter and John. Glory to God. You got to understand, if you really want to see how excited Peter and John was, read chapter 2. You'll see how excited they were. Glory to God. Couldn't wait. Couldn't wait to glorify and praise God. And this lame man, who's seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms, help me. Help me. You know, blind Bartimaeus. He was screaming and hollering. And some of those people that had seen him every day said, shh, hush. You're always moaning and groaning. You don't need to worry the master. Let me tell you something. From what I read, it is no worry to the master. Amen. He has given us an open invitation to call on Him anytime, day or night, regardless of the situation. Be quiet, Bartimaeus. Amen. Maybe there were some that passed by and said, "Ah, that's just old lame man. He's here every day asking for alms." But he got Peter and John's attention, who, seeing them, asked an alms. Now, the Bible says in verse 4, and I want you to grasp this. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John. That is not a just casual gaze. That is not walking by and seeing a need and seeing, you know, I feel sorry for that person. Maybe somebody ought to help him. Or if he's still there after church, and then after lunch, and after we run by Walmart, and after I go by and get some gas, and if you're still there, no, Peter and John, they focused in. Come on. I see that as being laser focused. Not necessarily because he was a lame man asking for alms, asking for help, asking for a gift, but because of what they had just come out of and still had. I like people that get energized in revival but keep it after the evangelist is gone. Keep it 7 days a week after they had experienced the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they focused in on a need and they addressed it. Hallelujah. The Bible says, Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed, expecting to receive something. When people call you, they're expecting to receive something. They may not be inside yet. Amen. But there's a possibility that God's yearning, God's desiring for them to be on the inside. Hallelujah. Not just the building. Come on, get spiritual with me. And he gave heed expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter almost burst his balloon of expectation. In southern vernacular, he said, "I ain't got no money." "I can't give you nothing." But I do believe with all of my heart, the lame man continued his expectation. Because I don't read where he turned his focus or he turned his eyes in some other direction. Because Peter quickly followed that up with, "But such as I have, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have." Now the lame man perked up a little bit. He said, "Give I thee such as I have." It's an anointed walk with God, and I don't want to lose it. So therefore, I'm not going to share it. I'm not going to reach out to others. Because if I do, I may not have enough for me. No. Peter said, "Such as I have." Southern vernacular. What I got, you can have it too. What I'm about to give you is worth more than gold, worth more than silver. Glory to God. It's about to change your life. Glory to God. Such as I have, give I thee. Glory to God. And I will believe for an instant. The lame man began to imagine all kind of things. Probably the least of that he's about to be healed. Wouldn't you? Somebody told you, I got something better than silver and gold I'm fixing to give to you. Well, what is it? Such as I have. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You don't get no more specific than that. Rise up. That ain't all. And walk. Rise up and walk. May I suggest to you today, if you're looking for financial situations, if you're looking for better opportunities, if you're looking for a more in-depth walk with Christ, whatever you are looking for, you may be in the same condition of the lame man. You're just sitting at the gate waiting. Maybe the only move that you've made is gazing at someone who has it together. Peter and John had it together. Glory to God. Not only were they together in heart and mind, they were together in the Spirit of the Lord. Can I tell you, when God touches you, rise up and walk. Lay aside all the burdens. Lay aside all the guilt. Lay aside all the shame. Lay aside every hindrance. Lay aside every obstacle. Lay aside every pitfall. Rise up and begin to walk in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It would seem as though Peter and John had done everything humanly possible. They came. They witnessed. They focused. They prayed. They anointed him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They urged him. In fact, they charged him to rise up and walk. I've witnessed to that man till I'm blue in the face. Come on now. Come on, brother. I've called him, invited him. I know at least 100 times. I've told him what to do. I've told him how to do. I've told him that God loves him. I've told him that they can be a child of God. Now it's time for them to rise up and walk. But Peter noticed, because Peter was so full of the power of God. Let me tell you, when Peter looked at the lame man, he didn't see a lame man. He saw an opportunity for God. How many times have we as Christians looked at someone and surmised it and called it what it was? When we needed a man
to look at them through the eyes of faith and tell them what it can be through the power of God. Hallelujah. So Peter said, rise up and walk. And evidently, he didn't get up fast enough for Peter. Peter had been in the upper room revival. When the church has been in an upper room revival and the pastor says, praise the Lord, he loses control of the service for the next 30 minutes. Glory to God. Peter expected that man to jump up. Get up, walk. He didn't get up fast enough. If you think I'm waiting patiently, I am waiting patiently. Because God hadn't showed me which one yet. But I'm about to use a visible aid. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. I know what you're praying. God, don't let it be me. That's the reason I'm waiting. Because you're praying, God, don't let it be me. Don't let him walk back over here again. Let him go back yonder. Peter said, rise up. Walk. Rise up and walk. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'm afraid what the lame man did was like so many of us today. Amen. Hallelujah. I know. I just got to obey the Lord. I know it says a lame man. But somebody's fixing to have a transformation. Hallelujah. Not because of me. Because God just showed me who he wants me to take hold of the hand. And he took him by the right hand.
Come on, brother. Come on, brother.
He said, please get up. Is he up?
Come on, brother.
He lifted him up. This man been lame since his birth.
Come on, brother.
And he took him by the right hand. Get up. I don't question God. But I'm going to go to the person that God just showed me. Amen. I look him in the gaze. And, Sister Jenny, I don't know. But God just showed you to me. I want your right hand. In the name of Jesus, rise up. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it could be. But you're about to have a transformation. Glory to God. I don't know. I don't know. But God knows. God knows. Hallelujah. Glory. Your world is going to change. Glory to God. That situation is going to change. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, come on. Come on. Come on. Praise God. Praise God. Sister, whatever was on your shoulders when you came in this morning, the Bible says, immediately, glory to God, it's taken care of. Immediately, his feet and ankle bones receive strength. He's leaping and stood up and walked. Hallelujah. And he went somewhere that I don't find he'd ever been before. Up until this point, He was quite comfortable sitting outside the gate. God showed me days and days and days. Never ask anybody, help me into the temple. He was just satisfied sitting outside the gate. Close enough to know what's going on. Close enough to receive help from those who've entered in. Come on. Amen. Glory to God. Knowing who to ask help from. Amen. Knowing those that are full of the power of God. I need your help. I need your prayers. I need your assistance. But I'm not quite ready to go all the way. Amen. But I want you to notice what the Bible tells us immediately. Amen. His ankle bones and feet received strength he hadn't had before. Glory to God. The Bible said he walked. He leapt. He began to leap. But the best is yet to come. And he leaping stood up and walked and entered with them. I said he entered with them. He entered with them. It's time to get up from the gate and come on in. Come on in. Lay aside all the guilt. Lay aside every hindrance. Come in to the beautiful gate, hallelujah, of a born-again experience with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, His great kingdom, hallelujah. Can I tell you, and you don't have to be told, you probably already know it. There's a lot of good folks sitting outside the gate. There's a lot of good-hearted folks sitting outside the gate. May rock your world a little bit, but there's a lot of church members sitting outside the gate. Not entering into the fullness of what they can have. There's Bible scholars sitting outside the gate. And there's a lot of pros sitting outside the gate. I ain't talking about pro athletes. I ain't talking about professional anything. These pros are called procrastinators. And they're pro at it. Procrastinators. These knuckles held on to the pew back when I was a procrastinator. I saw what I could have. I saw the joy on the faces of the saints of God who had been in a spiritual upper room revival with the Lord. But I wasn't ready because I was a procrastinator until somebody lifted me up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! If you think sitting at the beautiful gate is good, wait till you get in. Woo! Glory to God. I said, wait till you get in. Hallelujah. Somebody lifted me up. Somebody loved me. Somebody preached me the truth. Somebody said you can't make it to heaven sitting outside the gate. You got to come in to the family of God. Beautiful, beautiful gates. I'm going to close with this. Read a little bit about the history of the extravagance and the intricacies and all of the wonderful work that went into the stone engravings of this gate called Beautiful. Some writer said it was aptly named because even from afar or distance, it was so elegant and beautiful. It just almost invited you to come in. The word in Greek that describes the gate called Beautiful was only used in context to declare it beautiful in the New Testament. The same word used in the Old Testament carried a somewhat different definition. It meant time or timely. Let that sink in. Not only is this gate beautiful, but it's timely. Hallelujah. Well, we could spend hours talking about God's time. If you're not born again, can I remind you that the Bible says God will not strive with men always. There was another feature to most gates. As much as they were open, signifying invitation and welcome to all, there was a time when those gates were closed. Can I just pause for thanksgiving for God's grace and mercy? Because He turned me from a procrastinator, amen, and gave me an open invitation. And now I'm one of them. Hallelujah. You too can be one of them. You can enter into the beautifulness of God's grace and mercy. Because this gate is open to everyone. Hallelujah. That is so precious. But can I also tell you that it may be a timely gate. And the gate of opportunity. For you may not always be open. If you're here today, if you've not accepted His calling, if you've not invited Him into your life and into your heart, maybe this is your time to come in to the gate called Beautiful. If we could have our music come. While they come, would you stand, congregation? Would you reverence the Holy Spirit that is in this place? Can you bow your heads? Please close your eyes. If you too are a procrastinator, if you too have been satisfied just kind of hanging on the outside, can I tell you to come and take advantage of the gate called Beautiful, of this open opportunity to not only rise up, but begin a brand new walk, a spiritual walk, where the Spirit of the Lord leads you and guides you daily. Where all the sins of your past are remitted. Amen. You've been forgiven. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Don't know anybody that would not want to take full advantage of that opportunity. Come on, saints of God, pray. Every eyes closed, every head bowed. This is your open invitation. Would you come? Would you come? Come on and let's pray. Come on and let's seek God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that beautiful gate. Thank you for that Holy Ghost experience.
Troubles come and I can't find an answer.
Come on. There is an answer.
Lonely
Oh, you've been there in those lonely nights of pain and agony.
I have no other friend that I can.
But you got a friend in Jesus.
So here,
sing it, brother. Here I am.
Down on my knees.
It's me again, Lord. That's all right. Maybe you've come before. Maybe you've slid a little bit. It's me again, Lord.
It's me again, Lord.
I got a problem.
I've got a problem.
And I can't solve.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
I don't need to worry.
I don't want to worry you, Lord.
Here I am facing something new.
I need help. Come
on,
some of the church members, come around. Let's pray.
Hallelujah. Comes from you.